right, we're rocking and ready for Football Friday Night right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. I'm Bo Bagley alongside Paul McKinnon, producer Angel Munoz. It's week 5 of the high school football season. Like to thank Anthony Reifenberg and a tough loss for the El Paso Chihuahuas, but now time to talk about high school football in the borderland. And we got a lot of scores to go and some finals all across West Texas. In our 915 Tours game of the week, the America's Trailblazers lead the undefeated Eastlake Falcons 17-0 in the third quarter. We'll hear from the Iceman, Brandon Cohn, in just a little bit. Earlier in 6A, the Eastwood Troopers topped El Dorado at the early game at the SAC 49-35. Eastwood improves to 2-0 in District 6A. We'll have more from Paul McKinnon on that game a little bit later in the show. Also in 6A, Coronado trails Pebble Hills in the second half 28-10. Meanwhile, down in 5A, look at this one, a fun game at Conquest Stadium. Del Valle leads Chapin 42-28 that game in the third quarter. Also in the third quarter, the Canateo Eagles lead the Parkland Matadors 37-7. Meanwhile, battle for the claw at R.R. Jones Stadium. The Austin Panthers lead the El Paso High Tigers 18-7 that game in the third quarter. We'll hear from Zay Galindo in just a little bit. Also over at Excalibur Stadium, the Hanks Knights lead the winless Burgess Mustangs 53-28. Also, we have a final at Bel Air's Highlander Stadium. The Highlanders improved to 5-0. They're undefeated through 5 weeks of the season, defeating the Jefferson Silver Foxes 63-6. Elsewhere, Cathedral all over San Elizario at Austin High School tonight. The Irish lead San Eli 48-14 that game in the fourth quarter. Also in the fourth quarter, Mountain View all over Santa Teresa 33-0. Elsewhere, Fort Stockton, it's a final. Fort Stockton Panthers defeat Isleta on their homecoming 41-21. And also a final at Alan Sepkowitz Stadium. Midland High disposes of Andrus 62-14. Meanwhile, at halftime, Bowie leads Anthony 18-14. Riverside all over Horizon the fourth quarter 38-0. Clint leads Irvin 15-10. And we have a final up at the Field of Dreams. Centennial tops Oregon Mountain 42-0. In other action, Mayfield and Berlin are tied at 7, and Crane at last check led Tornillo 33-0. Let's head out to the Iceman, Brandon Cohn, for an update on our 915 Tours game of the week, Eastlake against Americus. Brandon, take it away.
11 minutes to go in this contest, and it's All America 17-0 over Eastwood. Eastlake. It's worth noting that here in the second quarter, it was Eastlake who committed two turnovers, as Loma Lee had an interception and their wideout Medrano had a fumble. And then Moore was able to take advantage of that, a 28-yard strike to his wideout Abiel Rincon, giving Americus a 10-0 lead. And just as we were speaking here a few minutes ago, Americus quarterback Moore was a 20-yard touchdown pass to Miranda Jr. The PAT was good, making the score 17-0. Americus over Eastlake. We have 10:19 left here in our 915 Tours game of the week. America 17, Eastlake nothing.
All right, Iceman Brandon Cohn, thank you very much. From the Student Activities Complex, 915 Tours is a division of Classic Elegance Coaches, providing the best travel packages from El Paso to Dallas for Cowboy home games. Follow on Facebook or Instagram to learn more at 915tours.com. Let's head out to Coronado's T-Bird Stadium and join Adrian Broaddus for an update on Coronado hosting Pebble Hills. Adrian.
2:52 left in the third quarter. Pebble Hills leads Coronado 28-10. However, it was Coronado getting on the board early into this second half. Quarterback Owen Levesque, he is back, and he hit wide receiver Ben Wilson for a 33-yard touchdown pass on their opening possession of the second half. Pebble Hills put together a nice drive of their own, but it stalled at the Coronado 34. In fact, it was a fourth down play. They went for it. Quarterback Gael Ochoa of the Spartans was strip sacked by defensive lineman Bobby Anderson, and Coronado has it around their own 45-yard line. 2:54 left here in the third quarter. Pebble Hills leads Coronado 28-10.
All right, Adrian, thank you very much. That's going to be a wild 6A now, especially that Americus leading to Eastlake tonight at the Student Activities Complex, Pebble Hills, all over Coronado tonight in the fourth quarter. Hey, we got a fun one at Conquest Stadium. I hear Chapin Huskies just scored. Let's go out to Steve Escajeda, Del Valle, hosting Chapin. Steve, take it away.
Fun is an understatement. We've got 3:42 to go here in the third quarter. Del Valle now holding on to a 42-35 lead over Chapin. I'll tell you, it's been a battle of running backs today. To sum things up for Chapin, what a ball game. Shelton Fuller, 9 carries in the game, 301 yards, 5 touchdowns on the ground, touchdown runs of 93, 71, 58, 50, and then a short one from 14 yards out. Those are his 5 scores. Poor Chapin. They're being led on the ground by Kerry Wade. He's got 184 yards on 19 carries. He has scored 3 touchdowns, and they've gone back and forth all night long. 3:20 to go in the third quarter here at Conquest Stadium. Del Valle, 42, Chapin, 35.
All right, Steve, thank you very much. Going to be a fun one there. We'll keep you updated on that game through Steve Escajeda at Conquest Stadium. Del Valle hosting Chapin 42-35, just a 1-score game there in the third quarter. Let's head out to David Guest. Boy, this one has been all Canutillo at Parkland's Matador Stadium. Here's David Guest for an update. At last check, it was 37-7. David, what do you got?
Yeah, guys, we're final here at Matador Stadium. Canutillo improving to 3-2. Parkland falling to 3-2 here tonight. It was all Canutillo all game long. They held Parkland to a total of almost 85 yards in the second half. It was the same story in the first half, holding Parkland to just 100 yards in the first half and just 85 in the second. And Canutillo used a mix of quarterbacks. Starting quarterback Jeremiah Knox was the one throwing the ball. He finishes with 132 yards through the air, 39 on the ground, passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown. But dual threat backup quarterback Matthew Gasca Jr. had 48 yards on the ground and 2 scores. And Canutillo closes this one out, almost a shutout, but early in the fourth quarter was a touchdown pass from Parkland quarterback Eric Ortiz to wide receiver Fabian Cervantes. So again, Canutillo wins this one 37-7 and improves to 3-2 on the season. Parkland falls to 3-2.
David Guest from Parkland's Matador Stadium. What a win. What a statement for the Canutillo Eagles tonight against their old district rivals, the Parkland Matadors. No longer district rivals, but once again, this one goes to the Canutillo Eagles. 37-7, the final. Canutillo over Parkland. Now to the 93rd edition of the Battle of the Claw between Austin High School and El Paso High. Let's join Zay Galindo for an update from R.R. Jones Stadium. Zay.
Thank you, guys, here at R.R. Jones Stadium for the 93rd edition of the Battle of the Claw, where with 5:40 left in the fourth quarter, it's Austin 18, El Paso High 7. El Paso High has struggled to get much going offensively outside of a good opening drive that saw them lead all the way down the field for a touchdown. That was quarterback Martin Gonzalez taking it in from 6 yards. But after that, it's been very dry. Meanwhile, Austin really spreading it out. They're really getting the pass game involved today. They have 133 passing yards to 139 rushing yards today. So just a tough game for both sides defensively. They've both held very nicely. So once again, at R&R Jones Stadium with 5:40 left in the fourth quarter, it's Austin 18, El Paso High 7.
Zay, thank you very much. What a game this could be for the Austin Panthers after the big win last week over the Hanks Knights. Could win looking for their second win in a row tonight over El Paso High, leading it 18-7 in the fourth quarter. What a night if you're a Bel Air Highlander. Boy, have the Highlanders been hot the last 2 years. They kept it up tonight. Let's go to J.D. Sersley at Highlander Stadium for an update, and it's a final between Bel Air and Jefferson. J.D.
Yeah, Bel Air 63, Jefferson 6. Oh, man, you are correct, Mr. Bagley. Noah Moreno definitely continued that high streak. 275 yards, 4 total touchdowns in the first half. He didn't even play the second half. Jefferson's lone wolf is Miguel Rubio, or Silver Fox, I should say. He had, at halftime, 86 yards, 1 touchdown, and he ended the day with 137 yards. But, yeah, all Bel Air. Jesse Mendoza, defensive lineman, returned a fumble for a touchdown, 43 yards in the first half. I'm sure I'll definitely have more for y'all later. But, yes, Bel Air goes to 5-0. Jefferson's 0-5. Bel Air 63, Jefferson 6.
All right, JD, thank you very much. We'll have our Boston's Pizza post-game report in just a little bit. But what a win for the Bel Air Hounders. 63-6 over Jefferson, Bel Air improving to 5-0. Let's head out to Hank's Excalibur Stadium. They had a tough loss last week against Austin High School. Looking like they're going to take it out on the Burgess Mustangs. Let's go to Bill Kuhn at Excalibur Stadium for Hank's hosting Burgess. Bill.
3:38 left in this game, and you just missed a 38-yard touchdown pass to Jude. Let me get his name. I'm sorry, Jude. He left me. Jude Blanco for Hanks makes the score 60-28 here with Hanks over Burgess. It's been Michael or Marcus Horace show. In the first half, he had 215 passing yards and 84 running yards. Going crazy. On the other side of the ball, 3 touchdowns by Caleb Hanna. Coming off an injury, he's had a good night for Burgess. So with 3:38 left here at Excalibur Stadium, it is Hank's night, 60, Burgess 28.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. Boy, the Hanks Knights can score under new head coach Scott Valise. They're showing it again tonight. 60 points, leading Burgess by 32 in the fourth quarter. What a start for Cathedral under interim head coach Christo Gonzalez. They've won two games in a row. The Cathedral Fighting Irish now make it close to 3. Let's head out to Jeremy Caronco at Austin's Ari McKee Stadium, where Cathedral's hosting San Elizario tonight. Jeremy.
3:08 left to go in the fourth quarter, and Cathedral still holding on to a big lead, 40-20 over visiting San Elizario here at Austin High School. The star on the night for the Cathedral Fighting Irish has been junior quarterback Jose Carlos Herrera, 140 yards on the ground and 2 touchdowns through the air, 9 out of 10, nearly perfect for 151 and 2 touchdowns. And a freshman has caught a touchdown, one of those. Jose Uscanga getting his first start of the season. He caught a 32-yard touchdown pass. And Josh Bowling has 2 fumble recoveries and a touchdown with 5 receptions for 61 yards. And on the night for San Elizario, Zamar Vargas, the only thing going for the Eagles is their rushing attack. And he's had a nice night, but just too big of a hill to climb. He has 3 touchdowns for 119 yards. And Chris Crane, 2 years ago, 2 games ago, stepped down for reasons unknown, and it doesn't seem to be bothering Cathedral as they had just scored another touchdown as a 29-yard rushing touchdown by another freshman. How about that? So Cathedral on the board again. 2:24 left to go in the fourth quarter, pending an extra point. It is Cathedral 54 and San Eli 26.
All right, Jeremy, thank you very much. Wow, what a game for the Cathedral Fighting Irish, looking for their 3rd win in a row. We'll have more from Jeremy in just a little bit. Let's head out to our other reporter on the scene, Russ Bannister at Lobo Stadium, Mountain View, hosting Santa Teresa. And this game has been all Lobos. Russ, what do you have for us?
Yes, with game just went final. It was Mountain View 33 and Santa Teresa nothing. Mountain View had had an outstanding defensive game tonight. Offensively, Mountain View was led by their quarterback. He had 11 completions for 18 attempts, a touchdown. Had 188 yards total pass offense. Their offense, they had over 125 yards by Alejandro Lerma. So final score was in Mountain View 33, Santa Teresa 0.
All right, Russ, thank you very much. We'll get our Boston's Pizza postgame report from you in just a little bit, but a big win for the Mountain View Lobos as they improve to 4-1 on the young season. Santa Teresa falls to 0-5. Other scores of note around town, the Clint Lions have really pulled away in the second half over the Irvin Rockets. Clint now leads Irvin 31-10 that game in the fourth quarter. Also in the fourth quarter, Riverside up on Horizon 45-6. At last check, Bowie leading Anthony 18-14. We'll get an update from you there. We're going to take a quick break. We'll have much more. You're listening to Football Friday Night right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Welcome back to the Week 5 edition of Football Friday Night right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. In our 915 Tours Game of the Week, the America's Trailblazers shutting out the undefeated Eastlake Falcons 17-0. That game going into the fourth quarter. We'll hear from Brandon Cohn in just a little bit. But first, we have an exciting game. Coronado strikes again against Pebble Hills in this 6A matchup at Thunderbird Stadium. Let's head out to Adrian Broaddus for an update on Coronado hosting Pebble Hills. Adrian.
10:06 left here in this matchup. Coronado, it strikes back, but Pebble Hill still leads 28-17 here with under 10 minutes to go. It was quarterback Owen Levesque who hit wide receiver Blake Randag for a 14-yard touchdown. This is Owen Levesque's second passing touchdown of the night so far. In the first half, kind of struggled. No touchdowns on the board for Coronado. And in the first half, it was all Pebble Hills. Gael Ochoa, their quarterback, threw for over 100 yards in the first half and had two rushing touchdowns. He was 120 through the air in the first half and then also 55 on the ground in the first half. But in the second half, the Pebble Hills Spartans have not found that same magic that they found in the first half. Coronado currently driving right now. As I'm speaking, quarterback Owen Levesque hit wide receiver Cason Goldie for a 30-yard gain all the way down to the Pebble Hills 33-yard line. So I might call you guys back here soon enough. 9:43 left in this one. Pebble Hills up 28-17 over Coronado.
All right, Adrian, great stuff there from Thunderbird Stadium. Coronado driving right now. You can hear Owen Levesque hit Cason Golding, son of UTEP men's basketball coach Joe Golding out there. So Coronado driving with the ball down just 11. Should be a fun ending here at Thunderbird Stadium.
Yeah, T-Bird's down a couple of scores, but it's good to hear they have their quarterback back.
Absolutely.
It's tough to watch them last couple of weeks. If you know, you can't usually say this, but I say if he's there, they definitely win the Westside Bowl. That was a 14-13 loss to Franklin where they looked like the better team even without him. All they were missing was a quarterback. And last week as well, a winnable game that went the other direction. So love to see him back. There's so many teams in the district that are without. Franklin Socorro, easy Franklin win last night at the SAC. But who are these guys? Fourth string running back, one receiver that I recognize from the first month of the season. Hurting for certain, and there's a lot of teams in that district. El Dorado, by the way, one of them saw the 4 o'clock game at the SAC, where no Ryan Estrada, the best player on their team, that super freshman from a year ago, more than 1,200 yards. He played the first half of the second game of the season. And we haven't seen him since. Talked to the coaches at that time, and they said, hey, whenever the doctor releases him, whether that's next week, next month, or next year, that's anybody's guess.
And speaking of 6A, Franklin last night defeated Socorro 52-24 behind four touchdowns from sophomore running back Atreo De La Riva. Got his first action of the season and took Socorro to the woodshed. 52-24 as Franklin improves to 2-1 in a very tough 6A right now.
Or, as I would call him, the fourth string running back.
There you go. So if you look at Mottwood sitting pretty, Franklin is going to host Mottwood next Friday in their homecoming game. Mm. Eastwood undefeated today, a big win over El Dorado, 49-35. Your take on that game as Eastwood improves to 2-0 in district.
Well, it was a surprise to everyone that El Dorado was able to compete the way they did. As I said, no Ryan Estrada. They've looked listless without him throughout the season. A couple of weeks ago, when they plugged their quarterback, Elijah Issa, remember, he sat for the sophomore, Inahosa, for three quarters, and they plugged him into the fourth, led four touchdown drives. Of course, they lost the contest. That was a blowout, but that little bit of spark, I think he carried over to the Eastwood game today. He looked good, as did some of his receivers. 13-7, they jumped out quick. Actually, Albert Rabb, a few plays into the game, 53 yards, got El Dorado on the board. Remember, he was out a couple of weeks ago to injury, so they've been playing with a third-string running back. Well, at least they got number two back, and it really came to fruition for him, the long TD run. Got El Dorado going in the right direction, but Ramon Luana responded 45 yards down the right sideline. The El Dorado pass defense, the safeties, the deep secondary, they were nowhere to be seen. A bunch of deep balls, as you'll hear. Dorado comes back. Donovan Love, a kickoff return for a score, 8:46 left in the second quarter, 20-14. Eastwood back down the field. The one thing I've noticed about these Eastwood Troopers, and it's to a man, they run hard. The receivers, there's a lot of run after catch, and it all starts with the quarterback, Evan Mihadas, and the tiny running back, Max Mancia, who takes a lot of contact, and they spin off it, they run through it, and they keep on going. Mihadas, the 9-yard touchdown run, gave him the 21-20 lead. Mihadas added another 1-yard quarterback sneak over the right side, 1:12 left in the half. They took a 28-20 lead to halftime, and you're thinking, okay, Eastwood ready to roll. You're thinking it even more, their first possession. What I tell you about the deep ball, Alex Sanchez catches his first of the contest. You notice I said first. 54 yards down the right sideline, 35-20. Eastwood off to the races, but coming right back. That's then El Dorado debuted a receiver, not really the field goal kicker, Calderon. He's been solid. He caught a TD last week. Well, he was money tonight. The Eastwood secondary couldn't cover him. Roll pass to the right side, little throwback. He makes the catch, tight ropes it down the sidelines, gets Dorado back to 35-28, 2:20 left in the third quarter. Eastwood, one play later, throws a backward pass. That's called a lateral, which means when it's not caught, it's a live ball. And Adrian Olivas jumped on it at the Eastwood 30-yard line. Five plays later, Dave Martinez is off a little roll pass, 4 yards. Issa to Dave Martinez. Makes the catch, 35-35, we're knotted with 11-11 left in the fourth quarter. Easy to say this, the best contest of the day, and I do mean day because it kicked off at 4 o'clock at the sack. But Eastwood with the long drive late, they punch it in. Silva, a throwback, beautiful play, third down and 10, actually third and goal from the 4, roll right, and they drag the tight end all the way back across to the left side of the formation. The easy pass from Mihadas, 4-yard TD, that makes it 42-35, 7:49 left in the contest. Dorado got the ball back again late. They had time to drive the field, but first play, actually not first play, after first down, 23-yard interception return. Conrad Joseph Garcia. Maybe I should have started with this. The game-ending interception. They tried to throw a little flat route. The left side defensive end, Joseph Garcia, just undercuts the route, makes the catch, rolls into the end zone. That was just a couple of minutes left in the contest. And that was all she wrote. Eastwood sneaks away with a victory. They stay undefeated in the district. They get to claim that they're still the best team based on the Pebble Hills win a couple of weeks ago. They were off last week. But boy, did El Dorado unexpectedly give him a scare.
Absolutely. 49-35, the final. Eastwood over El Dorado right now. Eastwood now 2-0 in district. The other undefeated team, Mottwood, also 2-0 after it looks like Americus is shutting out Eastlake at the moment. We have a live game update over at Thunderbird Stadium. Let's head to Adrian Broaddus because here come the Coronado T-Birds. Adrian.
8:56 left here in this one, and Pebble Hills leads Coronado 35-25. Since the last time I spoke to you guys, two touchdowns have occurred. That's right. Quarterback Owen Levesque hit wide receiver Kaysen Golding for a 36-yard passing touchdown. That is his third passing touchdown in the second half for quarterback Owen Levesque. The two-point conversion was good as well. So they came back within 3 points. However, on the very next play for Pebble Hills, it was quarterback Gaiello Choa who scrambled for a 60-yard rushing touchdown. You heard that right, a 60-yard rushing touchdown for the UTEP commit. He has 3 rushing touchdowns on the ground tonight, 8 carries, 115 rushing yards for the quarterback for Pebble Hills. And we've got a game out here in West El Paso. 8:51 left here in this one. Pebble Hills up 35-25 over Coronado.
What a game between Pebble Hills and Coronado. Thank you very much, Adrian. Hey, we have a final in the Battle of the Claw. Let's out to Zay Galindo for a final from R.R. Jones Stadium. Zay. Zay, are you there? We have a final from R.R. Jones Stadium. Looks like the Panthers top the Tigers once again. Zay, what do you got for us?
Thank you, guys. It was a great game here at R.R. Jones Stadium, where the Austin Panthers came out on top over the El Paso Tigers 18-7. And just great games from Austin. They had Anakin Torres, quarterback Anakin Torres. He was all over the field. He was rushing. He had passing yards. He had his guy Andrew Andujo multiple times. And overall, Paso High just couldn't get much started. They had under 150 yards of total offense, and meanwhile, Austin had almost 300 yards of total offense, including over 180 yards of passing offense, something they hadn't done in a while. So Austin claims its sixth straight Battle of the Claw win over El Paso High, 18-7 here at R&R Jones Stadium.
All right, Zay, thank you so much. We'll get our Boston's Pizza post-game report from you in just a little bit. But a big win for the Austin Panthers, their second straight win this season. A big win over the El Paso High Tigers, their rivals in the Battle of the Claw. We also have a big game going on between Del Valle and Chapin. Let's get a quick update from Steve Escajeda at Conquest Stadium. Steve.
Well, I'll tell you guys, things don't change. Back and forth we go. 6:44 to go in the ball game. And Del Valle had just scored on a 29-yard touchdown pass from quarterback Jake Fetty to Ryu Nunez to make it 49-35, give him a two-touchdown lead. What they thought was a little breathing room, well, that didn't last very long, as Chapin answered that Davion Singleton just going from 4 yards out to cut this lead to 49-42. Again, 6:39 to play. Del Valle just received the kickoff on their own 25-yard line. They'll take it first and 10 from there. And as we said earlier, been a battle of running backs tonight. Again, Shelton Fuller from Del Valle, 303 yards on the night, 5 touchdowns, while Kerry Ware for Chapin, 22 carries for him, 187 yards and 3 scores. We're in for a wild finish, 6:39 to go in the fourth quarter. Del Valle out in front of Chapin, 49-42.
All right, Steve, thank you very much. A wild one at Conquest Stadium between Del Valle and Chapin. Steve, thank you very much. We'll get back to you in just a little bit. We have a final in our 915 Tours Game of the Week, America's Trailblazers hosting the Eastlake Falcons. Let's head out to the Iceman, Brandon Cohn, for an update on Eastlake and America's from the Student Activities Complex. Brandon.
Absolutely. America blanks Eastlake 17-0 for the Trailblazers. They improved their record to 3-2, 2-1 in 1-6A. Next, they will be at Pebble Hill. Their quarterback, Mark Moore, 8 of 11, 107 yards, 2 touchdowns, had 7 carries, 52 yards. He did have a fumble in the second quarter. Running back Brian Promes was the star on the evening, 19 carries, 92 yards. Also wideouts Anthony Miranda Jr. and Abdiel Rincon, a touchdown apiece. But how about their defense? Tremendous. Rushing 3 the majority of the evening, but always consistently putting pressure on Eastlake quarterback Loma Lee, allowing him to virtually do nothing throughout the evening. For Eastlake, the Falcons, they dropped their first game of the year. They're 4-1 now, 2-1 in 1-6A. Next, they will host Socorro here at the SAC. Quarterback Loma Lee, as I noted, tough night, 7 of 15, 52 yards, had an interception, 14 carries, got sacked several times, so lost quite a few yards. Only 12 carries netted on the ground. Running back Julius Acosta, 3 carries, 36 yards. And wideout Adam Kirtley, 3 receptions for 25 yards. So it's a final here in our 915 Tours Game of the Week. All Americas, 17-0 over Eastlake.
All right, Brandon, thank you very much. What a win for the America's Trailblazers. Second week in a row, knocking off Franklin last week. Today, they knock off the undefeated Eastlake Falcons 17-0 in our 915 Tours Game of the Week. 915 Tours, a division of Classic Elegance Coaches, is providing the best travel packages from El Paso to Dallas for Cowboy home games. Packages include round-trip travel, hotel stay at the Dallas Omni, an ultimate fan experience tailgate, a meet-and-greet with a player, and and your ticket to watch the Cowboys. Follow on Facebook or Instagram to learn more at 915tours.com. Paul, bring in here. What a win for the America's Trailblazers. Moving up there, going to give Eastlake, and unfortunately a loss for them early in the season to the Motwood Rams. But boy, did the America's Trailblazers look like they're rebounding big time.
Yeah, an understatement. 2 weeks ago, we were having the conversation. Well, America's just lost two games in a row on the final snap of the game. They lost on a field goal to Odessa at zeros. And the next week, they came back in triple overtime. And as you just said, lost to Montwood. And that was a hurting team. And we said last week at Franklin, at undefeated Franklin, must win. They got to have that one. Well, they went out and got it, 16-10 final, and here they are shutting out Eastlake. That good America's defense did the job at the sack, and as I said, how the worm has turned. America's is in this playoff hunt with both feet now.
Very much so. Once again, America's topping Eastlake 17-0. Both teams now 2-1 in 6A on our 915 Tours Game of the Week. We're going to take a break. Much more. You're listening to Football Friday Night right here on ESPN 600. Welcome back to Week 5 of Football Friday Night right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Late in the fourth quarter, Pebble Hills currently leads Coronado 35-25. Meanwhile, also in the fourth quarter at Conquest Stadium, Del Valle leads Chapin 49-42. We have finals all over the borderland in our 915 Tours Game of the Week. America's tops Eastlake 17-0. Canutillo defeats Parkland 37-7. Austin High defeats El Paso High in the Battle of the Claw 18-7. And Bel Air all over Jefferson, improving to 5-0 in the season, winning 63-6. Meanwhile, over at Excalibur Stadium, Hanks improves to 4-1 with a 60-28 win over the Burgess Mustangs. And we have a final at Austin's Ari McKee Stadium. Cathedral tops Senelli 48-34. Also at Lobo Stadium, Mountain View defeats Santa Teresa 33-0. Down at Emperor Stadium, Riverside tops Horizon 52-6. Midland all over Andrus High School 62-14. Isleta falls to Fort Stockton 41-21. And we have a final at the Field of Dreams. Centennial defeats Oregon Mountain 42-0. Late in the fourth quarter, last check, Clint leads Irvin 31-10.
Hey, Bo, got an out-of-town scoreboard here. Let's make it quick. Odessa Permian, after a loss last week, they get back in the flow. 41-20 up on Abilene Cooper last check. Friendship shutout, Rio Rancho Cleveland, which, as we always know, makes them New Mexico State champions. 35-0, Friendship moves to 5-0. Elsewhere, Abilene Wiley, wow, San Angelo Central going to fall to 1-4. 30-14, Wiley, last wow. time we checked. Here's a close one, Midland Legacy, just one loss on the season. Looking to go to 4-1, 36-31. That was over Converse Judson. That was a early fourth quarter score. Abilene beats Monterey. Wow, Abilene is pretty good this year. Moves to 3-2. Actually, that game not done, 49-7. But talking about a team that's really fallen and can't get up, it's Amarillo Tascosa. They went to Brethren. Amarillo 42-6. Amarillo all over Tascosa. Tascosa about to drop to 1-4. Andrews takes care of Lubbock in Lubbock, 55-21. Stephenville, of course, not a final. None of these finals. Stephenville up a point on Wichita Falls Rider, 21-20. Hereford looking to move to 5-0 in the battle of 4-0s, 24-21. They lead Plainview. Leveland all over Lakeview, 24-13. Monahans looking to move to 5-0. They're going to do it, 49-6 over Denver City. Perryton up 21-14 on Pampa. And I can't read my own writing, but it looks like Seminole is knocking the tar out of Pecos. Pecos going to fall to 2-2, 56-13. Seminole at home all over Pecos. And that, Bo Bagley, is for the first time tonight your out-of-town scoreboard.
There's a scoreboard brought to you by Ignitify, for your AC installation service provider. Ignitify is known for maintenance and repairs to your cooling system. Visit IgnitifyEP.com to get started today. For an update, let's go out to Thunderbird Stadium and join Adrian Broaddus for an update on Coronado hosting Pebble Hills. Adrian.
3:41 left in this game. Pebble Hills has extended their lead over Coronado 38-25. It was a 25-yard field goal by Pebble Hills kicker Aaron Ortega, who helped extend the lead for the Spartans. And the way they got the way that they were able to take advantage of that short field. It was defensive back Cesar Bettis who intercepted and picked off Coronado quarterback Owen Levesque on the previous drive, which led to that field goal by Pebble Hills. So I'll send it back to you guys. This one winding down as Pebble Hills has the ball. They're just trying to run the clock here. 3:29 left in the fourth quarter. Pebble Hills up 38-25 over Coronado.
All right, Adrian, thank you very much. Probably next time we talk to you, we'll get our Boston's Pizza post-game report from you. It looks like Pebble Hills up by 13, time winding down. Let's head out to Conquest Stadium. A good game between Delvai and Chapin. Just a one-score game late in the fourth quarter. Let's join Steve Escajeda for an update. Steve.
We've got 3:08 and counting here to go in the fourth quarter, and Delvai just scored to make it a two-touchdown game. They're up now 56-42. Quarterback Jake Fetty runs it in from 4 yards out, again, to give the Conquistadores a two-touchdown lead. Right now, Chapin has the ball. They just got a first down. They're down to the Del Valle 43-yard line. 3:05 to go. Chapin only has a couple of timeouts left. And, again, they're going to have to go quickly. They've got a good running game, not so much passing, but they've got to score two touchdowns just to tie this game. In we've got just under the three-minute mark. Again, Singleton as the quarterback. He just completed a pass down to the Del Valle 22-yard line. So, again, Chapin trying to get back into this one. 2:49 and counting here in the ball game. Del Valle out in front of Chapin, 56-42.
And, Bo, what a perfect time for these two teams to get together. You know, there is a little animosity between these two clubs, and it goes back to Super 5A a couple of years ago. Remember when Chapin just came out of nowhere? Chapin had some down years, and we're thinking, okay, you know, they're undefeated in that district against some bad teams. I think there was only four at the time. But, whoop, they jump up and surprise Del Valle, final game of the season. I think it was 14-7. So Del Valle is still shocked about that. They give them some payback on a Chapin team a year ago that really hadn't hit their stride yet. 36-0, they shut them out. But both of these clubs, the offense off the chain, Chapin, I think 43-36 winners last week. Rivera, Evan Rivera, your QB, Davion Singleton all over the place, by the way, for Chapin tonight. Singleton's been plugged in at QB in the fourth quarter. You just heard he had a four-yard touchdown run. On the other end, Del Valle, that sophomore quarterback, we were telling you about him a month ago. He's really starting to show now. Jake Fetty threw for 345 yards in the blowout of Canutillo. 345 might not be a lot for, let's say, somebody like Mountain View and Matt Slozar, who does it every week, but against the Canutillo defense, which year to year is among the three or four best in the city, often the best, to throw for 345 against them, that tells you that the Del Valle offense has arrived. They're ready to roll. So both of these teams going head-to-head, as I said, when the offenses are at an optimal, and they've really put on a show tonight. Looks like, at least for now, Del Valle getting the better of it. Fetty, the four-yard touchdown run, they're up 14. But Chapin, as you heard, driving, that offense looking to score again.
Looking like this combined over 100 points in this one, but Jake Fetty giving Noah Moreno from Brolaire a run for his money in terms of stats tonight. Of course, remember, Noah Moreno did all of his stats in the first half. We'll hear from J.D. Sersley in just a minute, and we'll head back to Steve Escajeda for an update. But once again, Del Valle with a two-touchdown lead late in the game over Chapin at home. Hey, for our Boston's Pizza post-game report, let's head out to Parkland's Matador Stadium and get a wrap-up of a Canutillo win, big win by 30 over Parkland. Let's join David Guest for this Boston's Pizza postgame report. David.
Yeah, guys, Canutillo winners in this one, 37-7 over Parkland. And Canutillo scored first and went to the half up 24-0 and just closed this one out 13-7 in the second half. Canutillo used a combination of quarterbacks between Jeremiah Knox, who was doing all the passing. He finished with 132 yards through the air and a touchdown score. He also had 39 on the ground for another touchdown. And it was quarterback Matthew Gasca coming out of the Wildcat formation. He did not throw a pass, but he did have 48 yards rushing and a pair of touchdown scores. It was Canutillo's defense that was the story in this one. Canutillo holding Parkland to just 56 yards and blanking the Matadors through the first half. In the second half, they did give way to 128 yards
and one touchdown score early in the fourth quarter. It was a 30-yard touchdown pass from quarterback Eric Ortiz to his favorite wide receiver, Fabian Cervantes, but holding the Matadors to just 184 total yards. Running back for Canutillo, Rene Huerta had a receiving touchdown in this game. Also, running back Shai Alva had 90 yards on the ground. Wide receiver David Alvarado had 65 receiving yards and the touchdown. Also, an interception on defense for the Canutillo Eagles. Canutillo improves to 3-2, and they will face an 0-4 Burgess team next week. Parkland falls to 3-2 and will face 2-3 Isleta. Final from Matador Stadium, Canutillo victorious 37-7 over Parkland.
All right, David, thank you so much. And that Boston's Pizza postgame report. Boston's Pizza is your go-to sports watching destination all season long. Stop by Boston's Pizza for football on Saturdays and NFL football on Sundays, along with UFC pay-per-view fights, all without ever having to pay a cover. Boston's Pizza is family-friendly and located on the west side right in front of Top Golf. Learn more on social media by following Boston Pizza El Paso. Hey, for an update, let's go back out to Conquest Stadium, get an update from Steve Escajeda on Del Valle hosting Chapin. Steve.
Well, guys, the scoring just keeps on coming. We've got 2:26 to go in the ballgame. It is now Del Valle 56, Chapin 49. Chapin quarterback Davion Singleton keeping it and running it in from 9 yards out. Again, to cut it to that one touchdown score. Del Valle right now has the ball on the Chapin 32-yard line. They're looking at a first and 10. They've just called their first timeout. Actually, I'm sorry, Chapin just called a timeout. That leaves them with one left in the ball game. Again, 2:21 to go. Del Valle up 56-49. Just in case anyone hadn't heard earlier, the big man for Del Valle tonight, Shelton Fuller, 11 carries, 314 yards, 5 touchdowns on the ground. And, boy, they need that running right now just to try to run out the clock. Again, 2:21 to go in this one. Del Valle first and 10 at the Chapin 32-yard line. And again, they're trying to run out the clock on this one, and we'll see how it goes. 2:21 left to go. Del Valle 56, Chapin 49.
All right, Steve Escajeda, thank you so much. And yeah, Steve, we've been listening all night long. Nice job there for that update. But what a back-and-forth affair all night long at Conquest Stadium. 56-49, Del Valle leads Chapin late in the fourth quarter. We finally have a final from Coronado's T-Bird Stadium. Let's head out to Adrian Broaddus for a final between Coronado hosting Pebble Hills. Adrian.
That's right. It's the final. Pebble Hills defeated Coronado 38-25 today to improve to 4-1 on the season. Meanwhile, Coronado falls to 1-4 on the year. And let's start off with the visiting Pebble Hills Spartans, who ended up victorious on this game. Kael Ochoa, the UTEP commit and the senior quarterback, went 11-for-16 through the air, 157 passing yards, but he got all of his touchdowns on the ground. That's right, he racked up a trio of rushing touchdowns in this game. 9 rushing attempts, 121 rushing yards, including his 60-yard rushing score for Pebble Hills that set them over the top against Coronado, a dazzling performance by the future Division I quarterback. And his running back, Darian Quarles, what a productive game for him. Just another one. 20 carries, 182 rushing yards, and a touchdown from 29 yards out. I like the play today from wide receiver Omarion Wallace, the freshman. He caught 5 passes today for just under 75 receiving yards, and I liked what he brought to the table for the Pebble Hills Spartans. Now, on the flip side for Coronado, Owen Levesque, their quarterback, he is back, and he is back after missing the last 2 starts at quarterback. He was 7 of 18 through the air, 175 passing yards with 3 passing touchdowns, 1 to Blake Randag from 14 yards out, 1 to Ben Wilson from 33 yards out, and the other to Kaysen Golding from 36 yards out as well. Coronado, while they are much improved, head coach Mike Pry, who is in his second year, he actually has a lot of history with Pebble Hills coach Mark Torres. He joined him at Franklin when both of them were coaching under Darren Walker, He followed Mark Torres when Torres was hired at Pebble Hills to be his offensive coordinator, and then Coach Mike Pry heads over to Coronado as of last year to run this Thunderbirds program. But on the flip side with Pebble Hills, you heard from earlier today, Eastlake falling to Americas. That shakes things up in this playoff push. I'll tell you, it's an uphill battle for the Coronado Thunderbirds, but Pebble Hills puts themselves in the right position to try to continue to boost their resume and you know, vie for the playoffs. They are now 4-1 on the season, 2-1 in District 1-6A play. Coronado, meanwhile, falls to 0-3 in 6A play and 1-4 on the season. So that will do it for us. A final out at Corrals Brook Stadium. It is Pebble Hills defeating Coronado by 38-25.
All right, Adrian, thank you so much. Appreciate that for that Boston's Pizza postgame report. Once again, Pebble Hills improving to 2-1 in District 6A with a 38-25 victory. We're going to head back out to Del Valle's Conquest Stadium in just a moment. Paul is bringing in here as we get Steve Escajeda on the line. A big win for Pebble Hills. This one was admirable if you're a Coronado T-Bird fan, but unfortunately the T-Birds fall to 0-3 in 6A.
Yeah, and you heard the big night from Zoran Corrals, 182, 20 carries, 182 yards. Remember, he had a 190-yard game last week, four TDs, a lot of long touchdown runs. That was a career best, and he nearly duplicates it against, I would say, a better defense, Coronado Thunderbirds. They're a good tackling team. Mark Livingood, you heard Bobby Anderson, Coach Bob Anderson's kid. He's a senior now, D lineman. Terrific. They can tackle. And, yeah, to get almost 190 again against them is probably more of an accomplishment. Pebble Hills, I think, angry from a couple of weeks ago when they lost the shootout 49-42 to Eastwood. They've been seek and destroy ever since. And, you know, sometimes a loss is not a good thing, but sometimes it's kind of a okay thing.
All right, let's head back out to Steve Escajeda, Conquest Stadium, Del Valle, and Chapin. Just a one-score game. Let's get the final countdown. Steve.
Yeah, it's all over here at Conquest Stadium. Del Valle hangs on for an exciting 56-49 win over the Chapin Huskies. With the victory, Del Valle improves to 4-1 on the season, while Chapin falls to a very respectable 2-2. As we kind of figured this game would be a good one, we may not have thought it would be this high scoring, but I'll tell you, toward the end, Del Valle had to just run that ball out. They started giving it to their big running back, Juan Archuleta, who just finished the game with 97 total yards, but they just could not stop him there at the end, gaining 5 yards, 7 yards, 6 yards, just carrying guys with him again until they ran out the clock and came away with the victory. We've got some stats for you. Final stats. First of all, for Chapin, a big ball game by their running back Kerry Ware. 23 carries, 196 yards, 3 touchdowns for him. They're on again, off again, quarterback Davion Singleton, 14 carries, 70 yards, and a couple of touchdowns. Again, not a whole lot through the air for Chapin. They only threw for a total of, 118 yards or so passing, and 113 of those came from Singleton himself. And that was pretty much the offense for Chapin. For Del Valle, I'll tell you what, is the Sheldon Fuller show, 11 carries on the night, only 11 carries on the night, 314 yards, 5 touchdowns. Again, runs of 93, 71, 58, 50, and 14 yards tonight. That guy's going to have a really earn a good night's sleep tonight. Also having a good ball game, Juan Archuleta, 13 carries, 97 yards for him. Through the air, quarterback Jake Fetty, not a big ball game, but again, managing things tonight. 5 out of 11, 140 yards, a touchdown pass. Oh, and by the way, he also scored the final touchdown for Del Valle late in the ballgame. He had 21 yards rushing and 1 touchdown. Team totals, Chapin, 411 yards on the night. Again, 273 of those coming on the ground. That's what they do. For Del Valle, I'll tell you what, 589 total yards, 140 passing. Only 140 yards passing for them, 449 yards on the ground for Del Valle. For the Chapin Huskies next week, they're going to take on they'll be at the Auburn Rockets. while Del Valle opens up District 1-5A Division 1 play at Horizon. Again, final score, wild affair, great ball game to watch. Maybe not so much if you're a Huskies fan, but still a good ball game. Final score, Del Valle knocks off Chapin 56-49.
All right, Steve Escajeda with the call from Conquest Stadium. Big win for the Del Valle Conquistadors, 56-49. Thank you for that Boston's Pizza postgame report. Steve, we'll see you over at Boston's Pizza over there by Top Golf. And we also have a final from Anthony's Lobo Stadium. Bowie tops Anthony 38-14. That is a final. Let's head out to J.D. Sersley for an update. This was the Noah Moreno Show from Highlander Stadium. It's a final. Bel Air tops Jefferson 63-6. For your postgame report, brought to you by Boston's Pizza, let's head out to J.D. Sersley. J.D.
Yeah, definitely Noah Moreno Show for sure, but let's get to Jefferson, who drops 0-5. Miguel Rubio, the lone back, literally, ended up with 137 yards, the one sole touchdown that Jefferson had. You cannot win a game when Bel Air was just passing at ease and having their way, scoring and scoring at their will. And then you're just trying to run the clock out, really, for Jefferson. But, yeah, Bel Air, Noah Moreno, didn't even play the second half. He ended the game with 275 yards, four touchdowns total, one running. Mark Mukibi ended up with 133 yards and technically one 91-yard touchdown is why he ended up with 133 yards. Jesse Mendoza, number seven, defensive lineman. There was a scrum that Jefferson had the ball. Probably Miguel Rubio is the one that ended up that coughed up the ball, but Mendoza gets the ball and everyone's still in the scrum. He runs left and there's only a few people that realized that he had the ball, so he ends up scampering 43 yards for a touchdown. In the second half, Noah Moreno gets to sit, and then the running back also gets to sit, Eddie Reyes. So Zach Martinez and Jesus Hernandez, double running back, Jesus Hernandez ends up with two touchdowns himself, and then Angel Dominguez, quarterback number two, number three, he ends up scoring a touchdown with Oscar Martinez. Oscar Martinez ended up with four touchdowns himself, receiving. All Bel Air, all night, they go 5-0, 63-6 over Jefferson.
All right, J.D. Sersley, thank you very much. We'll see you at Boston's Pizza over there by Topgolf. Huge game for Bel Air, Paul.
Oh, yeah, and Jeff just doesn't have enough. J.D. hit it right on the head. I caught these guys Saturday at the Sun Bowl. You know, they're a better-looking team than I expected. I thought they were going to roll over to Bel Air, to Bowie. Far from the case, actually led 7-6 at halftime. Their run defense is pretty good, but, I mean, you saw in that game, first possession, Bowie Antonio Anaveros, 55-yard touchdown. Anytime they look to throw the ball deep, it was there. And I think we saw that again tonight with Bel Air. You heard Oscar Martinez, four TDs. Mark Mukibi had a 91-yard touchdown catch. So, as I said, the defensive front seven for Jeff, not bad, pretty good tacklers. But once you go over the top, they're having a little trouble in coverage. And, boy, did Bel Air exploit it tonight.
Very much so. Big win for Bel Air, proving a 5-0. Hanks picked up a big 60-28 victory over the Burgess Mustangs tonight. For a quick rack of up, let's go up to Bill Kuhn for this postgame report from Excalibur Stadium. Bill.
Yeah, guys, you know, it was, as you said, a 60-28 Hanks all over Burgess. Let's start with Burgess. Caleb Hanna had been on the injury list for the last couple weeks, finally got back. And, you know, really impressed with this running back for Burgess. He ends the night with 18 carries, 133 yards. And that's about all I can say on Burgess. You know, he's a good little running back, and I think if they can keep those holes opened up for him, he'll do good for Burgess. Maybe they'll win a game, but they end 0-5 tonight. Hanks on the other side, oh, my gosh, what an offensive showcase they put on. Marcus Porras, quarterback for Hanks, passed for 19 of 21 passes for 269 yards. He also ran 117 yards, just crazy, crazy, you know, and very impressed with Marcus Porras. You know, he really controlled the game. He watched what was going on. And if he had to take off, he found that open site and did a great job just taking command of that game. His big receiver was Jude Blanco, 8 catches, 195 yards, and 4 touchdowns for Jude. Big night for Jude, big night for Marcus Forrest, and the Hanks night. Hanks has Bel Air next week, and with them putting up 63 and Hanks putting up 60, it may be an offensive shootout next week with Bel Air and Hanks. And then Burgess goes into Canyon Teal and sees what they can do if they can get a win. So that's it here at Excalibur Stadium. It is Hanks night, 60, Burgess 28.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. Great job there from Excalibur Stadium. We'll see you over at Boston's Pizza for our post-game get-together. A score update, this game's still in the fourth quarter. The Clint Lions now lead the Irvin Rockets 39-17 with about 1 minute to go.
And, Bo, before we let Hanks Burgess get away, you heard Jude Blanco, the big night, 180-plus yards. 5 games played this season, 5 games he's been over 100 yards. Remember, his brother, Michael Blanco, top or catches and yardage receiver in the history of El Paso. Jude's never been over 1,000 yards before, but, of course, well on his way there. This puts him well over 600, on the way to 700 with about half his season still left. So, you know, big brother, that casts a pretty big shadow. But Mr. Jude Blanco is just starting to inch his way out a little bit, a top yardage guy in the city. And, oh, by the way, Burgess, the one positive, I guess, is they've surrendered 200-yard rushers each of the last 3 seasons. Doesn't sound like they did that tonight, maybe because Mr. Blanco was going for so much yardage. Their run defense has been hideous, and it probably remains that way. The one positive, Caleb Hanna, back after out a couple of weeks. Good thing they brought him. They only scored 4 touchdowns tonight, and the Hanna kid, the senior, had 3 of them as Burgess, again, flops to 0-5. And as you heard, an angry Kenya Teo. Boy, did Kenya Teo play a game tonight. You know, is awaiting for him in district play. That is not going to be pretty.
Very much so. Hey, we have a final from Austin's Ari McKee Stadium Cathedral. Tom Sanelli, 48-34. For our post-game wrap-up brought to you by Boston's Pizza, let's head out to Jeremy Caranco from Austin's Ari McKee Stadium. Jeremy.
Yeah, the final out at Austin's Ari McKee Cathedral beating San Elizario tonight, 48-34. And the second game that Cathedral has seen without their sixth-year head coach, Curtis Crane, who stepped down for unknown reasons, and the defensive coordinator, Cristo Gonzalez, has done a great job, 2-0 now as the interim head coach for the Fighting Irish, who moved to 3-2 on the season, and the star on the night, juniors all over the place for Cathedral, and it's the quarterback, Jose Carlos Herrera, who did it through the air and on the ground. Really impressive through the air, 9 out of 10, 151 and 2 touchdowns with 2 interceptions, and on the ground, 10 carries for 140 yards and 2 touchdowns, including an 80-yard touchdown run on the night. And some nice showing from a freshman receiver, Jose Uscanga, his first game, 3 receptions, 84 yards, and a touchdown on the night. Cathedral knows that they have a change in leadership, but they are really playing well and have since they have had that change on the coaching side. San Elizario falling to 1-3 tonight. And they really just have one player on that offense that can do much, and it's Amar Vargas. And how about his night, though, in a losing effort? 5 touchdowns on the night, 159 yards, and 39 carries. That alone number right there just tells you what San Elizario has to uphill battle with him behind the reins there. Vargas, great night in a losing effort, though. And San Elizario, as I mentioned, 1-3, will host Fabens next week. And 6 turnovers tonight. They've got to change that with 4 fumbles and 2 interceptions. Really, the turnovers stopped any momentum they had at a comeback, which was too much to climb. And Cathedral at 3-2 will be at Bowie next week. So a final out at Austin's Ari McKee tonight. Cathedral beating San Elizario for the 3rd straight year and their 3rd straight win on the season, 48-34.
All right, Jeremy, great job there. Big win for the Cathedral Fighting Irish. Speaking of the Bowie Bears, whom Cathedral will play next week, Bowie topped Anthony 38-14. So Cathedral 3-2 after winning three straight, while Bowie improves to 4-1. Should be a fun one. Hey, for a quick post-game wrap-up, let's go out to Mountain View's Lobo Stadium, join Russ Bannister. And there was a big shutout win for the Mountain View Lobos over the Santa Teresa Desert Warriors. Russ, take it away.
It was a big shutout. It's 33-0 Mountain View Lobos over Santa Teresa Desert Warriors. Santa Teresa was led by their quarterback, Nick Vieira. That's a head coach's son. He was their offense. He was 9-for-19 for 117 yards. And he had an interception that went for something like 100 yards. I think it'd probably be a New Mexico record with that. He caught it in the end zone. I think it should have been about 101. I don't know what they're going to credit him with. And that was defensively. Mountain View held Santa Teresa on, I think, like first and goal on the 5 and held him. They turned the ball over, so they had a good defensive plan against Santa Teresa. Vieira, he was 9-for-19, 117 yards. Their running game was a kid named David Gutierrez. He had 18 carries for 41 yards, and that was it for the running game. Next week, schedule does not get any easier for Santa Teresa. They're hosting Artesia. Okay, for Mountain View, they had an outstanding game plan tonight. They were led by their quarterback, Matt Solsar. He was 11-for-18 with two touchdowns and 188 yards. Their rushing game was Alejandro Lerma. He had six carries for 140 yards, and 75 of those, or 74 of those, were for a touchdown. I'm going to keep it short tonight because I know everybody needs to get out of here. The final score, Santa Teresa, they travel to Fabens next week. They open their district against Fabens. So Santa Teresa end up with, they're all 0-5 after tonight. Mountain View is 4-1, very impressive 4-1. And final score was 33 Mountain View, Santa Teresa Desert Warriors 0.
All right, Russ, thank you very much. Great job out there. Big win for the Mountain View Lobos.
And remember, Bo, this was the return visit for the longtime head coach, Gary Rundell. I think it was a 13-year run in Mountain View. Remember, he quit to coach his son, who was a freshman at Santa Teresa. So think about that commute. You're the Mountain View head coach, and you're coming from Santa Teresa every day. I think that'd be enough for me to quit, kid or no kid. But, of course, last year the game was at Santa Teresa. This time, the homecoming to Mountain View. And, you know, they were nice to him. First quarter, nothing. Until Mountain View really got that air game on track. You heard Russ mention Alex Lerma. He has been huge. Mountain View, a lot of players go out the door, including the 1,000-yard perennial receiver, Hansel Hernandez, who wound up at playing defensive back over at Pebble Hills. Well, Hernandez or no, they found some other receivers, and Lerma, as I said, has been enormous for Mountain View as they only have one loss.
Very much so. Big win for the Mountain View Lobos. And also, it's a final at Irvin Memorial Stadium. Clint Lyons topped the Irvin Rockets 39-17. That's a final. Clint improves to 2-3, while Irvin falls to 1-4. And it's a final of the Battle of the Claw between El Paso High and Austin. Oh, it's all Austin in this one, especially pulling away in the second half. Let's go out to Zay Galindo for our Boston's Pizza postgame report. Zay.
Thank you, guys. Final here from R&R Jones Stadium in the Battle of the Claw. Austin took its sixth straight victory over El Paso, beating the Tigers 18-7. And this one, for a while, it looked like a defensive struggle. But let's start off from the beginning, where El Paso High took the opening kickoff, and they drove it down the field over 70 yards. and it was quarterback Martin Gonzalez who took it in himself from 6 yards out. That gave El Paso a 7-0 lead with some momentum. However, Austin would come back with 11 straight unanswered points going into halftime. One of those touchdowns, or the only touchdown Austin scored in the first half, was due to a double reverse pass. Andrew Andujo hit wide receiver Matthew Felix for a 46-yard touchdown, and that's when Austin took an 11-7 lead into halftime. Now, coming out of halftime, Austin came out, and they drove right down the field, due mostly in part to some penalties. However, it was quarterback Anakin Torres hitting Andrew Andujo for a 1-yard touchdown, and that extended the Austin lead to 11. It was 18-7 and 4:57 left in the third quarter, and Austin just ran this clock out. They used their big back, Ruben Bustillos, who ended up with 81 yards on 21 attempts. He helped run out that clock, and Austin came out on top 18-7. And one thing to note is Austin did pass the ball somewhat. They went 7 of 12 overall. It was quarterback Anakin Torres. He went 6 of 11 for 87 yards. And then, of course, on that double reverse pass, Andrew Andujo, he had one completion, one attempt for 46 yards and a touchdown. Meanwhile, Austin, known for their run game, they had 149 yards on the ground on 38 attempts. Meanwhile, for El Paso High, the Tigers struggled to get much going offensively. They were held to under 150 yards. Martin Gonzalez, he only went 5 of 17 for 24 yards. So an overall tough game outside of that opening drive from El Paso High. And Austin improves to 2-3 overall. They have a big one coming up after this. They're going to be taking on Dumas, an away non-district game. Meanwhile, El Paso, they'll look to rebound. They're also going to fall to 2-3. They have Andrus at home in a couple of weeks. Thank you, guys.
All right, Zay Galindo with that Boston's Pizza postgame report. Zay, thank you very much. Remember, Boston's Pizza is your go-to sports watching destination all season long. College football Saturdays, NFL Sundays, UFC pay-per-view fights, never a cover. Boston's Pizza is a family-friendly located on the west side right in front of Top Golf. Learn more on social media by following Boston Pizza El Paso. Hey, what a day. We're going to get through our Ignitify local scoreboard, go through all of the scores, talk a little bit of our out-of-town scoreboard. We have also have a final from Tornillo. Crane, top Tornillo, 68-0. We'll go through all of your finals. You're listening to Football Friday Night right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Welcome back to the Week 5 edition of Football Friday Night. We have final scores all over the borderland. In the early game at the Student Activities Complex, Eastwood tops El Dorado today 49-35. Elsewhere in 6A in our 915 Tours Game of the Week, Americus shuts out Eastlake 17-0. Wow. Both Americus and Eastlake now 2-1 in 6A. Elsewhere, Pebble Hills tops Coronado 38-25, while on Thursday night, Franklin defeated Socorro 52-24. In 5A, huge game between Delvi and Chapin. Delvi holds on to win a slugfest 56-49. Meanwhile, Canateo Oliver Parkland, this is a final 37-7. In the Battle of the Claw, Austin High defeats El Paso High 18-7. Bel Air all over Jefferson 63-6. Bel Air now 5-0 on the young season, while Hanks puts up 60 on Burgess. They defeat the Mustangs 60-28. Elsewhere, Cathedral tops San Eli 48-34. Mountain View shuts out Santa Teresa 33-0. Clint all over Irvin 39-17. Riverside tops Horizon 52-6. Midland High all over Andrus 62-14. Fort Stockton tops Isleta 41-21. And the Bowie Bears improved to 4-1, beating Anthony today 38-14. Also, Tornillo fell to Crane 68-0. In the Land of Enchantment, Oregon Mountain falls to rival Centennial 42-0. And that is your Ignitify local scoreboard. Finding a trustworthy person to work on your AC might be difficult. Hey, Ignitify is here to help. They have over 20 years of experience in El Paso and a 5-star rating on Google. Call them today to set up an appointment. Visit IgnitifyEP.com to get started today on your cooling, maintenance, and repairs. Now time for our out-of-town scoreboard. Let's go to Paul McKinnon. Paul?
Here comes the rest of Texas, the mighty Mojo. They bounce back from last week's 27-25 loss to Harker Heights. They roll Abilene Cooper 41-20, move to 3-2 on the season. Friendship shuts out New Mexico State champs Rio Rancho Cleveland 35-0. Friendship now 5-0. They're a good team, a playoff team in District 2-6A. San Angelo Central, maybe not so much. They fall at Abilene Wiley 37-27. 3-2, Wiley moves to Central, just 1-4. They're going to have trouble getting past Midland this year, as I'm sure Andrus would attest to after Midland took care of them and might have been kind over at Andrus Eagle Stadium. Midland Legacy, they hold off Converse Judson 39-31, kick a field goal late for that 6-point, that 8-point final. They move to 4-1 on the season. Here's another good team in 5A, Abilene High. Boy, they really hit Montwood 59-14. They move to 3-2 on the season. Monterey, which got off to a good start, falls to 2-3. Elsewhere, talking about teams that are going the wrong direction. Amarillo Tascosa, what a beast they've been in 5A and in 6A before that over the last 10 years easy. 42-6 at Amarillo High. They fall in a battle of 3-1 teams. Elsewhere, Andrews goes to Lubbock and takes care of them. 55-21, Stephenville holds off Wichita Falls Rider. 21-20, narrow 1-point. Rider falls to 3-3. Stephenville moves to 3-2. Hereford, Plainview, that one a final as well. Battle of 4-0 teams. Hereford, the 24-21 victory at Plainview. Plainview's a good team. That's a good win for Hereford. We got to get those guys out of 4A. They just look too darn good. Leveland takes care of Lakeview, 24-13. Lakeview falls to 1-4. Monahans, the beast of 1-4A, Division II. 49-6. That's Clint and Mountain View and Fabens. This is who they're going to have to go to if they want to win that title. Tough sledding. 49-6. Monahans moves to 5-0. Paradin takes care of Pampa, 29-21. And finally, Seminole at home, all over Pecos. Pecos falls 56-13. And Bo Bagley, for the last time tonight, that is your out-of-town scoreboard.
All right, Paul McKinnon, thank you very much. Next on Football Friday Night, we're going to talk about next week's games off of tonight's Senior Player of the Game, brought to you by the Greater El Paso Football Showcase, and our Top Athlete, brought to you by the Oscar Arieta Agency. Some big stats up there tonight. Who's it going to be? Find out next. You're listening to Football Friday Night. Welcome back to Football Friday Night as we wind down Week 5. It's time for our Oscar Arieta Agency Top Athlete. Paul McKinnon, who you got?
Yeah, this is not a tough call, and it comes from the most exciting game of the night. I would say the Eastwood-Dorado game was the best game of the day. Del Valle-Chapin at night, 56-49. Del Valle the winner. And one of the huge reasons, the junior, Shelton Fuller. Remember, this kid was a transfer. Like, he got 365. I don't think he was eligible last year as a sophomore until like week five, maybe week six. And boy, did he go off tonight. 11 carries, 314 yards, 5 TDs.
Wow.
So you throw the extra points, he's accountable for 35 of their 56 points against a good Chapin team, although at the moment I won't say, same thing I'd say about Eastwood, maybe not a good Chapin defense, maybe not a good Eastwood defense, gave a lot of points, gave a lot of yardage, and Shelton Fuller, boy, did he ever have a bunch of them.
Very much so. That's brought to you by the Oscar Arieta Agency. From a locally owned insurance agency, the Oscar Arieta Agency is proud to serve El Paso. With 4 locations in town, the Oscar Arieta Agency can help with your home, auto, and life insurance. They're the official insurance agent of the Utah Miners. Visit RiseUp 915 to learn more about prizes and giveaways for the Oscar Arieta Agency. Now time for our Greater El Paso Football Showcase Senior Player of the Night. Paul, who do you have?
And Bo, this one has more to do with when you made a play as maybe not so much the player. Gallo Ochoa did tonight what Eastwood's Evan Minhadas did to him a couple of weeks ago. Remember, Pebble closed it within 28-27, chose to kick an extra point. One play later, Evan Minhadas tries to throw a little bubble screen right side. It's not there. He tucks it and goes 75 yards for the TD. Eastwood put two more scores on top of them, and Pebble could never come back from that. Well, that's what Guile Ochoa did tonight. Already had a couple of touchdown runs, threw for a little over a couple of hundred yards, but Coronado had the momentum. The Blake Randag 14-yard score gets him within 28-7. Then the Kaysen TD catch for 36 yards. That was a 28-25 game. And what happens? Guile Ochoa, as I said, did what Mijares did. 60 yards to pay dirt. 35-25, they had a field goal late. Ochoa, the senior, made the play when a play needed to be made, and that was the difference. Pebble Hills hangs on to beat Coronado in a huge victory at T-Bird Stadium. 38-25 for the Spartans.
Remember, senior football players, you must have your SAT-ACT results submitted by December 1st to be eligible for the Greater El Paso Football Showcase Combine and the All-Star Game. Go to 915showcase.com and our social media to see the weekly top five performers, scores, stats of teams and players, and much more.
And let me create one more award just so I can get this in. We go to the 4 p.m. kickoff, Eastwood El Dorado. Eastwood wins 49-35, and the biggest reason, 42-35, still a few minutes left. El Dorado offense been running the field up and down all day long, but that's when Conrad Joseph Garcia, the left side defensive end for the Eastwood Troopers, Dorado tries to throw a little flat route, and Garcia undercuts it, makes the pick, takes it back 23 yards with just a couple of minutes, about 2.5 left in that contest. That sealed the deal. Eastwood takes the 49-35 victory in what our buddy Jaime Chavez would call a barn burner out at the sack.
There you go. If we're doing honorable mentions, also we must say Belair's Noah Moreno, 4 touchdowns, 200 yards, all in the first half. So, wow, Belair and Hank's going to be a fun one next week. We also, you're looking at Motwood at Franklin's homecoming game. That's sure to be a fun one. Pebble Hills will host Americus. Going to be some fun games next week. And remember, we are off next week for UTEP football's Friday night home game against Louisiana Tech. So no football fright next Friday, but we will be back in week 7.
And it means I get to pick whatever game I want to see next Friday, which is nice. It's nice to get the district. Once the district contest get going, 6A has been fun for about a month now, and it's going to be nice to see the 5As get into it now. Some big games and maybe some mismatches. That Hanks game you mentioned, that should be a fun one. It'd be nice if they could give Belair a little push. Belair could use some. Clint, I guess, gave him a little run last week. It's about time for another good game.
Very much. Some great games next week. Want to remind you that visit 600ESPNElPaso.com for recaps, photos by Prep One, and final scores for Football Friday Night. Make sure to subscribe to the Football Friday Night On Demand for the replay of each show. Football Friday Night On Demand is available wherever you get your podcasts. For Angel Munoz, Paul McKinnon, I'm Bo Bagley. Thank you for tuning in to Week 5 of Football Friday Night right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.